This morning, we thank you that we can come into this place and that we can worship that powerful name of Jesus, that name that has no rivals and no equals, Lord God. That is who we come to worship today. And Heavenly Father, as we open your holy word, may it penetrate into our lives as a result of the truths that we see within these pages. May our lives be changed on a daily basis. Father God, we pray for your anointing over the remainder of this service. Your presence has already been so evident to us. We just pray that we will feel your anointing as we get into your word now. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we looked at and we talked about the idea that at the heart of Christmas is this word hope. And this week we continue in this series and we're talking about at the heart of Christmas is this word called peace. Jesus's birth, Jesus is this baby, this infant that's in a manger. It offers us peace in the middle of whatever circumstances that we face in life, whatever difficulties, whatever stresses that we may face during our lives. Even in the middle of turmoil and heartache and pain and suffering, we can experience this incredible peace that only Jesus can offer to us. Peace is not the absence of all those things, of conflict, of heartache, of pain, and of suffering, of turmoil. It is the presence of Christ in those things. My hope is that during this busy Christmas season, that you'll take some time, that you'll set aside intentionally just a few moments each day to share with God the stresses that you face. The heavy things that you face. I talked to somebody just before service this morning that has added some extra stresses to the season. Not bad things, just extra stresses. And that you'll take the time to share with God those extra stresses, those heavy things, the heartaches and the pains that you might be experiencing. And that you'll trust His favor is on you today. That you'll trust that He longs to bring you peace. The Christmas story in the book of Luke begins with kind of this unlikely group of people. And many of you have read the Christmas story, you're familiar with it. And the first announcement of the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem was given by a multitude of angels to a group of shepherds, right? That's how the Christmas story kind of falls out. It begins. And they're out in their field and they're watching their flock and they're keeping them safe at night. And that's where we're going to pick up in verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. So I'm going to encourage you to turn with me. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 8 through 14. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's in the chair in front of you underneath it, and it's going to be page 725. So page 725, if you're using a church Bible. Otherwise, Luke chapter 2, we're going to go to verse 8, where it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news and will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Remember, last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, and that was the prophecy of this Messiah coming, right? "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests.'" When I was back in college for a couple summers to pay the bills, I did what was called tree planting. I think I've shared with you guys a little bit about that from time to time. One of the things about tree planters was it was kind of a group of people that weren't really appreciated to be around town very much. So we would go to a city called Prince George in Vancouver, Canada, and that was kind of our main hub for tree planters, and that's where we would all gather come late spring, and we would get all the stuff we needed to head up into the northern woods from there. And when tree planters go up into the woods, you typically spent weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks sometimes at a time, where you are in the woods, you're removed from society, from any cities, from all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit more primitive. It's all camping, and sometimes your camps weren't great, so showers didn't come as often as maybe they should have, or whatever the case might be. And we would look forward to our days off, because on our days off, we would head back to Prince George or whatever other city was local and close by, and we would get hotel rooms, and we had all the luxuries of life in that moment, right? But here is the thing. In Prince George, most of the hotels and motels knew about tree planters. And they knew that in general, and this is a big stereotype of them, but not necessarily an inaccurate one for most of those that were out there tree planting, was that they were there up for one reason, to earn enough money to party for the next weekend. So when they would rent the hotel rooms, they would trash the hotel rooms. So typically speaking, hotels, motels in Prince George or other surrounding towns would not rent hotel rooms if they knew that you were a tree planter to you. Except for the company that I happened to work for, because they'd worked hard at creating a different reputation for our company. So when they knew that we were from folklore, they would allow us to rent these rooms. But beyond that, they kind of looked at tree planters, a little bit of those outcasts, right? A little bit of stinky people that are going to trash our rooms and do things that we don't want them to do in our hotels. Shepherds in the first century Israel were individuals who existed on the fringe of society. They were considered the stinky, the dirty, the untrustworthy. They lived on their own for months, and they traveled with their flocks. And it would have been shocking to the first readers of the book of Luke that these were the people that God seeked out and chose to entrust with such an important message. I can guarantee you that in British Columbia, they were looking to get out some political news or whatever kind of news it was that they're trying to get out. They would not go to the tree planters and say, "We want you to give this good news to the rest of our province." They wouldn't look for them. There's better avenues. There's three thoughts that I want to share with you this morning concerning God's peace. We said at the heart of Christmas is peace, God's peace. And the first thought is this: the peace of God is for all people. It's for all people. The angels had to steady the shepherds by telling them to not be afraid because they were terrified in their presence. The message they brought was good news because a baby had been born who was this fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9, the Messiah, the one who was promised long ago to rescue God's people. The angels told them that where to find Jesus, first of all, and before they left on their search, this heavenly host spoke over them and said, "Peace to those on whom God's favor rests." Jesus was ushering in peace. I remember back when I lived in Ohio and I was working with our youth group and our youth ministry in Ohio, we would do, as you do here, as Stacy does and our youth leaders do with our kids here, we would do summer missions trips often. And I remember two specific trips that we did with our kids. One was down to Nashville and one was to Chicago. And in both those situations, the organization that we were there with, one of the things that they wanted for us to experience was what life in Nashville or what life in Chicago was actually like. We came from a little city of 25,000 people, so these were different cities than what we had experienced in Inglewood. And in both these situations, they would take us, they would give us tours of the city typically, and they would take us through the richest parts of the city, and you would see like the huge houses of celebrities and people with all kinds of money, and then they would also take us through the poverty-stricken areas of the city. And we would see the homeless people living on the streets. And typically one evening or one day during our time there during the week, they would tell us, they would give us the opportunity and want to hear back from us what we experienced to go and to talk to the people that are on the streets. So we would do this. And we would go and we'd talk to the homeless people and they would say, ask them their story. They want to tell you their story. And they were right. They would tell you their story. And you found all kinds of things. But these were the people that were living on the streets that were addicts. They were people that were poor. They were people that had health issues. They were people that probably some of them had pretty significant mental health issues. At least I can tell you that that was the case in one of the conversations I had. And in those experiences, in those kind of life experiences, what we see is that the good news of God is for all people of life. The good news of God absolutely, yes, came for Dustin and came for you, but the good news of God came for that mentally ill person sitting on the street in Chicago or the person that's an addict in Nashville or wherever else it is. And that happens locally here as well. The good news of God is for all people, all walks of life. And that's what we see as this news is delivered to the shepherds, to the lowest of the lows. In a Ministry 127 survey, nearly one-third of the people that were given the question as to who they most identify with in the Christmas story, the answer was the shepherds. The shepherds were these average, ordinary people, and yet were invited to the manger to see the King of Kings. It's amazing. When God wanted to announce the arrival of his Son, the Messiah, this long-awaited Messiah, he didn't do it in the presence of kings or queens. He announced it to the poor and to the forgotten. Truly is good news. Because if God's favor was offered to the shepherds, then surely God's favor and peace is available to us as well. Did you get that? I want to make sure you have that in your head because this is for each one of us. If God's favor was offered to the shepherds, then surely God's favor and peace is available to you, to us as well. Perhaps it's the world's greatest need these days, peace. From the time sin entered the world and affected all of creation, we have been at odds with God. Bible says we were enemies of God in a rebellion against his rule and reign. Sin did not just stop there. It also caused us to be in conflict with one another. We see that all the time. We see that as we look on the news and we see what's going on in our world, but we see that, let's be honest, in our personal lives where we live in conflict with one another too often. Peace. It's the ultimate answer to the brokenness that exists because of sin. Brokenness between ourselves and God. Ourselves and others. And sometimes just an inner self-brokenness. I think this is why Paul put it as he wrote in to the Colossian church. Paul was expressing the role that Jesus plays in making that peace. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and following, Paul says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, speaking of Jesus. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. To understand the peace that is ushered in at Christmas time, we must understand that although Jesus arrived in a cradle, his life would lead to a cross. Jesus intentionally lived a sinless life and willingly offered his life through crucifixion. Paul said it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes peace between us and God, that reconciles us to God. Christ's sacrifice on the cross pays the sin that we have committed. It appeases God's anger towards sin. And it destroys the power that evil has in our lives. Being reconciled to God is the key to experiencing peace in every other area of our lives. The second thought about God's peace I want to share with you this morning is Jesus reconciles us to God. This is so important. When we receive the gift of forgiveness that is offered to us by faith, we become in relationship. We become friends of God. And he offers us his power to help us navigate the difficulties of life. Some may believe that being made right with God means that we're not going to face problems in life anymore. And that's not the case. I like what pastor and speaker Tony Evans says about this when he says, "Peace does not mean you won't have any problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you." Isn't that good? Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. We're all going to face problems. It's just part of living in a fallen world. But it means that your problems won't consume you. The peace offered to those on whom God's favor rests does not equate to the absence of conflict. We will still have circumstances that don't go our way, or challenging relationships that we find ourselves in, that we have to learn how to navigate. What it does promise is the presence of God in our lives. And if he is with us, there's nothing that we should fear. We can go to him for guidance, and we can go to him for strength. We can lean on him when we get weary, when we feel overwhelmed. He promises to bind up our wounds when we are hurt. And I think that God also desires for us to make peace with ourselves, just personally. Sometimes we're not at peace with ourselves because of the things that we've done in the past, or maybe it's the present sin that's in our lives that needs to be taken care of, right? Every past mistake or personal struggle or worry for the future, you know what? It's met with the love and the grace of God when we're reconciled to him. We also make peace with others because of the forgiveness God has given to us. When we come to recognize the grace given to us, our hearts are transformed to offer grace to others. I think as we get closer and closer to Christmas Day, we move through this season of Advent, right? And Advent, it comes from this Latin word that talks about the arrival, means the arrival. And Jesus' first coming was the arrival of God's light of the world, the Messiah. It's like when we're sitting by our Christmas tree at night. I don't know if you guys have your Christmas trees up and if you have lights on them and that, right? As you sit there, the glow of God's presence just kind of washes over you. The glow of your Christmas tree just kind of washes over the room, right? That's what happens with God and his presence in our lives. It just washes over us. It calms our fears and it steadies our hearts. At Christmas time, we also make note of another advent that is to come. One day in the future, Jesus will return and make all things right once and for all. His peace covers our past. His peace meets us in our present. And his peace is promised for our future. The third thought that I want to bring to you this morning is that peace is one of our purposes in life as believers in Jesus Christ. Peace should be one of our purposes. What the world needs more of is people who have the peace of God in their hearts, who are willing to share that peace with other people. As believers in Jesus, if you have a personal relationship with Christ, it is not optional for us to embody this peace. It's an expectation that Jesus has for his followers. Joining God and making the world a better place is one of the purposes of our lives, and we do that through sharing Jesus Christ with others. In fact, Jesus speaks to this in the middle of his most famous sermon that he probably ever preached about the Beatitudes, right? And right in the middle of that sermon, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says this short sentence, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." The angels told the shepherds that peace was available to those on whom God's favor rests. Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, said something similar when he stated that peacemakers will be blessed and that they will be called the children of God. And it's always really important, and I always like to point this out because it's important for us to remember this, that we're called to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. That means action, right? That's a verb that we're talking about. We're not just supposed to observe peace and hope for peace, but we're actually supposed to do things in our lives to bring peace and to make peace. When we are willing to seek reconciliation, right, for broken relationships that might be a part of our lives, that's being part of making peace. When we are willing to seek reconciliation with others and fight for harmony rather than sowing dissension, we are identified with the heart of God who longs to reconcile the world to himself. We are being peacemakers. When we are in that mode of being peacemakers, of trying to bring peace into the world that we live in, into the families that we're a part of, right? Who needs a little bit of extra peace over Christmas, right? We're all getting together with extended family. We need a little extra dose of peace in our family sometimes, right? Let's be intentional about finding ways to bring peace to the dinner table. People at work, I'm going to guess some of the people where you work are stressed, or at school where you go, they're stressed because of the extra stuff that goes on during the holiday season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Help to make peace. We find peace at the heart of Christmas because God desires us to be in right relationship with him, with ourselves, and also with others. It's the very reason for which Jesus came to earth. is to bring peace. So this Christmas, my prayer is that we will be a people that embrace the gift that's offered to us through Jesus, who died for us, so that we might live in a right relationship with God, with ourselves, and with others. I would encourage you, as you leave here today and you think about this idea of peace, as you think about particularly the peace of reconciliation, I encourage you to think and to pray and to ask God to bring to the front of your mind if there's somebody that you need to work at reconciliation with in your life. And if God does bring somebody to your mind, don't ignore that. But decide today that you're going to work at reconciling that relationship. That you're going to work at doing what God was doing when he brought Christ to the world and bringing peace. That you're going to be a reflection of that peace. And that you're going to work at bringing peace to the world that you're a part of, through working at relationships that you already have in place, but maybe are hurt relationships. That's my encouragement for you as we leave today, as we go in and continue in this season of Christmas. So look for ways to be peacemakers. Peacemakers. A verb, an action word, meaning we need to do something in order to bring peace. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you that at the heart of Christmas is this baby that represents peace and that came to bring peace into our world and into our lives. Help us, Lord God, to reflect that in how we live our lives. Help us, Lord God, as we live our lives on the spiritual side of our lives, to be reconciled to Jesus, to be in good relationship with Jesus so that there is peace in that relationship. Help us to be in good relationship with our brothers and sisters in this church family and in your church. Help us to be in good relationship with our family units and the people we work with and go to school with and do community with. And Lord God, just help us in all the different situations that we find ourselves in to be a people of peace. And instead of choosing to continue the gossip or degrading of somebody else, that we're people of peace and we don't participate in that. Or we even take a step further and we encourage others not to participate in that and to help bring peace. Help us to make decisions in all areas of our lives, Lord God, to bring the peace that you have brought to us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.